It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our study of the book of John, we're now coming to chapter 14. And keep in mind that the Lord has tried to get his apostles, his disciples, acquainted with the idea that he will soon be offered on the cross. Now, he did not come out and say in so many words he was going to the cross as such, but he did make reference to the fact that he would be lifted up. And I believe that some of those people who heard this really realized that he was talking about the cross. Well, just before he went to the cross, we're getting into that area now where the Lord was trying to console his apostles, his disciples. And in chapter 14 of the book of John, the Lord says, "Let not your heart be troubled." And I believe this is one of the greatest things that we see that anyone could say to another individual, "Let not your heart be troubled." Many evangelists, preachers, and pastors, they use these verses as verses when it comes to having a funeral service. Well, it's good because let not your heart be troubled. People are troubled on every hand these days, and all through history, people have been troubled. But the Lord says, let not your heart be troubled. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know any difficulties that you have. You may not have any. I don't know. But if you've been in this world any length of time, you know that there are troubles. And when those troubles come along, we need to look to the Lord when he says, let not your heart be troubled. Christ goes on to say, you believe in God, believe also in me. Well, he could say this. He was speaking, of course, of not only God the Father, but he was speaking of himself. Jesus Christ came to the world because of God the Father. He wanted him to come. And it says here, you believe in God, believe also in me. Why would he say this? Because he is God. He is God, and he was saying these things that we're reading about here. He was saying these things with all the authority that anyone could give, and no one is above God. So Jesus Christ as God, he is God, and he was telling people, and he's telling not only his apostles and those people around him during the time that that he was saying these things, he's not only telling them, let not your heart be troubled, he's telling us these things today. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and thou shalt be saved. Realize that he is God and that he's able to save because he came to this earth for one purpose, and that was to save lost men and women. The Bible says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. But that verse, and we read other verses that we keep reading, it says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, let not your heart be troubled. Why? And how could this be possible that your heart should not be troubled? Verse 2, John 14. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Well, he's letting us know that heaven is not a small place. The abode of God, where God lives, it is not a small place. In fact, the Bible teaches us that there's nothing that can contain God. And we go to church and we go into a sanctuary of such, and we reverence that place because it is a place where we go to worship the Lord. And of course, we have fellowship one with another, with other believers, but we go there to worship our Lord and Savior. We go there to worship God. But God cannot be contained in that one area. God is God, and God is everywhere. The Bible teaches us that God's abode is in heaven, that he is everywhere. And I can't understand that as a human being, but I know the Bible teaches that, and I believe it because I believe God. I believe his word. The verse says in verse 2 of John 14, "In my Father's house are many mansions," not just a few, not just one or two, but there are many mansions, and I believe they're innumerable. There's no way to count the mansions that is there in God's house. It's not talking about the church. It's talking about God's abode. Verse 2 and the rest of that verse says, "If it were not so," now let me read that again, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." He said, if there were not many mansions in my Father's house, I would have told you. Well, Jesus couldn't lie. Jesus cannot lie. He's God. The Bible says, "Let God be true and every man a liar." Well, Jesus Christ was not every man. Jesus Christ is God. He could not lie. And we study this in the Word of God, and it is impossible for God to lie. Jesus goes ahead and says in verse 2, "I go to prepare a place for you." Well, there's a place being prepared for us. Now, we're still here. You're listening to my voice, and I'm speaking. I'm here at this time, and you're here at this time. But there is coming a time when our place will be prepared, completed. Now, Jesus, I believe, is preparing a place for us right now. And one of these days, we're going to go to our place that Jesus Christ is preparing for us. That's another reason that we are not to let our hearts be troubled. Things come into our lives once again in this life that is many times troubling to us. The things of this world are troubling to us. Finances are troubling to us. Health is troubling to us. But whatever comes into our lives, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." He's going to prepare a place for us. And when we have our place ready, when our place is ready for us, then we will go to be with the Lord. Notice verse 3. He says, "I go to prepare a place for you," in verse 2. And in verse 3 says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you." Now, there was no question that he was going. This word "if" is, he's placing this before the apostles, before us. He says, "Now, if I go," he's saying that there is coming a time when he is going to go. But it was not at this time, as he was speaking here. He's letting us understand that when he does go, he says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you," which he's already said he's preparing for us, he said, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Well, Jesus is preparing a place for us. And many times when I'm privileged to speak at a memorial service for a person who's going to be with the Lord, I will use this verse, the verses that we've just read here, that "In my Father's house are many mansions," he says, "I go to prepare a place for you." Well, our place is not ready yet. We're here. And as I speak to individuals, as I speak in a funeral service, a service recognizing the fact that someone has gone on, I will tell the loved ones there that the one who has gone on, their place is ready. Their place was ready, and Jesus Christ came for them. They're home. They're at their place. Jesus said, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." There's many comforting verses in the Word of God. And I suppose that the chapter we're reading here is one of my favorite chapters. Well, you know, there's many chapters that are my favorites. The entire book, the entire Word of God is a favorite. Why? Because the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God not only lets us know how to be saved, the Word of God tells us so many things, that once we're saved forever, and that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. We have eternal life. And because we have that eternal life, he has gone away. He's coming again to receive us unto himself. And he says that where I am, there you may be also. He's not saying, well, it's a possibility you might be there. No, he's saying, I'm going to prepare that place for you. And when I come again, I'm going to take you with me. And there you may be also, that there you are going to be with me. Verse 4, and whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Now, he's been teaching these apostles and these disciples. He's taught us as we've studied the Word of God. He's taught us that the way he's going by the way of the cross. But he's speaking generally here of the person who does not go to the cross, but the person who would give up the breath of life, the person who dies. And he says, whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Well, we know that the way of the cross leads home. And Jesus kept telling these individuals all through the scriptures here that there is a place prepared for them, that they will go home one day with him. And he says, whither I go, you know. He says, you know that I'm going to heaven. I've just told you that. I've just told you, I've been teaching you this. Whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Well, Jesus said more than once, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He's telling individuals back then and right now that if they want to go to the place, go to a place that God will prepare for them, that Jesus will prepare for them, then they must come Jesus' way, God's way. And that way is the way, the truth, and the life. And that way is Jesus Christ. He said, whither I go, you know, and the way you know. We know by studying and reading the scriptures how to go to heaven. As we look into the scriptures as human beings, as people who need a Savior, we see that we can be saved and we can go to heaven. And as a saved person, we know that our hearts should never be troubled because Jesus Christ will come again. And we know where he went. He went to heaven. He went to be with God the Father. And we read about that, and we're going to read about that as we see the crucifixion, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we'll see in the book of Acts, you read that, and you'll see that he went up, and that means he went up to be with the Lord. In verse 5, it says, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Well, Thomas, I would compare him somewhat to Peter. Both of them were hard-headed. And Thomas, remember, he didn't believe the Lord had risen from the dead. He said, till I see him, till I touch him, till I see him myself, I'm not going to believe that he has risen from the dead. Well, Jesus appeared, and he said, you old doubter, he said, touch me, feel me, and see that I have flesh and bone. A spirit hath not flesh and bone. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God, he believed. Well, we don't see Jesus physically today, but we see him spiritually through the eye of the Word of God. Do you know him today as your Savior? If you do know him as your Savior, you need to be serving him, letting him lead you and guide you through this life. I've said this over and over again. We are ambassadors for the Lord. We're representing the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We represent heaven. Our home's waiting for us. Jesus is preparing it right now. And one of these days, you and I will go to be with him. We'll go to heaven to be with our Lord forever and forever, because he promised us that.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.